No.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the city council meeting for Tuesday, October 18th. The time right now is 7:02 p.m. Ms. Moon, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Davis, and Camp.
Thank you. And we heard last week that Councilmember Hanford would not be here this evening. Councilmember Rasmussen has contacted me and said that he'd be in about an hour late this evening. And the same thing with Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Gamble is coaching a football game in the rain you just heard, so he may be a little damp when he comes in. So without objection, we'll consider those folks as excused. All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. Will everybody please stand and join me in the pledge?
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is a public hearing. This is a public hearing for AB 16-137. This is a 2017 budget for its first public hearing. Ms. Nelson.
This public hearing is just an opportunity for the public to give council any input they wish regarding the 2017 preliminary budget, and it's part of this state statutory process of adopting the budget.
Okay, thank you very much. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. If we could get our finance director, our conversation earlier, could you explain about the tax?
Yes.
Please. I don't know if you're going to do it now before the public hearing or...
I could do it when you, under final action, when you go to adopt the property tax levy.
Oh, that's fine. Just for clarification purposes.
Yes, we'll do.
Great. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, seeing none, is there anybody here that would like to comment tonight on the 2017 budget? First, we have nobody that signed in. Anybody like to come up? Ms. Angus Snepka, please come forward and state your name and address. This is the public hearing for the 2017 budget.
Well, I understand that.
Okay, cool.
I'll keep my comments brief. My name is Erin Angus Snepka. I live at 421 South Lewis Street, and I really, really want the city to hire a social worker. There's just all sorts of drugs and antics in my neighborhood. Having heard the Snohomish County Sheriff speak at length about their embedded social worker and what they've been able to accomplish, I'm just really quite convinced that that's absolutely the way to go. That we could be a leader for other communities in the valley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council on the 2017 budget? All right, seeing none. Do we have a motion for this one? I'm sorry, let me pull up the link. Councilmember Cutaback.
Move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Camp to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Is there a motion to close the public hearing? Councilmember Cutaback.
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Scarborough to close the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. We're going to go ahead and move now on to announcements and presentations. We have one proclamation this evening. This is a proclamation entitled Red Ribbon Week for October 24th through October 31st of 2016. Okay, whereas alcohol and drug abuse in this nation has reached epidemic stages, and whereas it is imperative that visible, unified prevention education efforts by community members be launched to eliminate the demand for drugs, and whereas the National Family Partnership is sponsoring the National Red Ribbon Campaign offering citizens the opportunity to demonstrate their commitment to drug-free lifestyles, which is no use of illegal drugs, illegal use of legal drugs, And whereas the National Red Ribbon Campaign will be celebrated in every community in America during Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd through October 31st of 2016. And whereas business, government, parents, law enforcement, media, medical, religious institutions, schools, senior citizens, service organizations, and youth will demonstrate their commitment to healthy, drug-free lifestyles by wearing and displaying red ribbons during the week-long campaign. And whereas the City of Monroe further commits to its resources to ensure the success of the Red Ribbon Campaign, now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby proclaim October 23rd through October 31st, 2016 as Red Ribbon Week, and encourage Monroe's residents and businesses to participate in drug prevention education activities, making a visible statement that we are strongly committed to a drug-free community. This evening, we do have Ms. Samantha Franklin here to accept this resolution, or proclamation, rather, and I'm going to invite her to come up and say a few words. Ms. Franklin.
Yep.
Yes.
Right here. Yes. Okay, so I am organizing Red Ribbon Week with many different organizations in town. I've organized it with a few teen groups as well, and they've made red ribbons to go on display, kind of this drug prevention message through town, with just hope and living healthy. And we're also doing a drug community awareness event on Sunday, this coming Sunday, from 2 to 4 at the Boys and Girls Club. It's open to everybody. Just kind of giving a breakdown of what's happening community-wise, county-wise, and having some doctors, we have a doctor presenting on what happens to the brain with addiction, just kind of a all-across-the-board kind of explanation.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go ahead and bring this down. Council will come down also to present this to you. Thank you, everybody, and Samantha, thank you very much for everything you're doing to promote this. Right, the next item that we have on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Please note that comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The first person that we have who has signed up to speak this evening is Ms. Rosie Tattle. Ms. Tattle. Tattle. I am so sorry.
Okay. I'm going to Olympia in December, and I need some information to back up what I'm saying to get results. Again, I am interested in what officers watching Highway 2 and 522 and Highway 2 parallel to Highway 2. Last time the officer, did an oral report. I need something in writing. The people who think there is no problem, they should look at me at that intersection. There's so many times, if my husband knew, he would have sold the house by now, but I know he loves it. Cars don't pay attention. The main trouble is cars heading towards Fred Meyer when they're in the turn lane turning onto the ramp. Cars going towards the fairgrounds are watching for those cars to get finished turning. They will not look at me on that side. They will not give me right away, and they won't pay. I even had a car to pass, the passenger point me there so the car would not turn. I need some help. I know it's the DOT's design of it. I'm not asking you. I want the information to show them there needs to be a change. If an officer looked at, I have a map I want to submit to her with a thing to realize the DOT's change of doing the light 3 seconds won't help because the car is turning on red, so that's out. A few days ago, I know you realized there was an accident on Highway 2. I saw the debris a day later. My husband later told me about it. I was thinking, I don't know, I want to know when that was, because I was on the road then. There's a few other areas, but I want to bite one thing at a time. Let me go. to us. And I want you to direct me to someone who can help. One time I went into City Hall a few years ago, the person told me, the lady, it's not our responsibility. People shouldn't be on the highway to make it safer. I knew the mayor was in office then, so I'd have help. If it was Zimmerman, I would have been bawling like anything. Okay. I would like you to help me make an appointment with someone at the City Hall to do this. During the fair, I was going from Fred Meyer's through the fairgrounds. Usually the officers looked at me. This time they didn't. I had an officer yelling at me to get off the road. Luckily, I didn't realize he was talking to me until I turned, because I could have caused an accident trying to figure out why this officer's freaking out. Later I noticed there was a crosswalk. Now if you look where that crosswalk is, you wouldn't think it's in the right spot. When Officer Johnson pointed out to me a few days later when I talked to him, I was like, it doesn't belong there. And that's something easily the town can change. Okay. Each time there's an accident along there, I wonder, what if I was in that position or someone else? It's getting worse and worse. Please help me do something before you have to think, what if I had changed that? What if that? I'm going to give this to her, and you can give it to an officer, to please help me before something does. It's getting worse and worse. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like the information before I go to the governor, please.
Understood. And before the meeting started, and I know you've spoken with the chief and the deputy chief, I know that you spoke with our city administrator, and so I'm going to understand that Mr. Brazel will be following up with you on this.
Thank you.
And since the state road is involved also, it may be beneficial to also talk with Representative Christensen or Senator Pearson, but I'll...
Well, I've talked to them over time before, even Senator Pearson is related to someone I know, and they even passed on the information. But I think to show the governor, well, if you have three design changes, you guys are going to be liable when that happens. And it's easy to fix and pay for something before instead of after to pay a lawsuit plus to fix.
Thank you.
And I put the email on the thing I gave you, because our answer machine only works when once. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next person that I have who has signed up to speak this evening is Ms. Erin Inga-Snapka. Ms. Inga-Snapka.
Hello. Again, my name is Erin Inga-Snapka, and I live at 421 South Lewis Street, which is also 203, obviously. And I'm here tonight because I've been jokingly calling it the heroin on the pillar, but it's really, a concerted problem in my neighborhood. There's really at least three drug houses that I know that are like a stone's throw from our home. Most famously, there's 518 South Lewis, also known as Pam and Kelly's house, by every addict in Snohomish County. If they've got, something, whatever it is that they're selling, has come in for the day, you can see, as many as 20, 30 people in and out of there within the space of a few hours. I mean, like, they come literally, like, by land and by sea, in every sort of pedaled contraption you could imagine. It's just a constant flow of people, and there's, it seems like every week there's a new problem. Bicycles that are presumably stolen, but I guess folks don't report their bicycles stolen, and so there's not anything that the police can do about it. I've called 911 so many times, like, that everyone at the house knows me at this point, and we've had encounters at the grocery store. Sometimes they yell, you bitch, when I walk by with my kid or my dog. It's kind of a... you're always told to call 911, but it seems that the 911 coverage training really is to keep you on the line, which is, kind of not good, because it's somewhere in the network there's somebody that has a scanner on all day. Because, no sooner do I call than someone comes running up Powell Street and grabs, the addict that is doing, whatever dysfunctional thing it is I've just called 911 to report. So they're pretty conscious of
you know, or who's calling. I've talked to three or four people that have, you know, experienced, you know, some sort of intimidation or threatening behavior as a result of having called 911 or gotten police involved. They're all women. You know, it's just sort of typical sort of bullying behavior. And, you know, they're not stupid. I mean, they've adapted to this veteran community that we have. You know, they start moving around, like around the time we're taking the kids to school. That's when I usually see a lot of bikes coming and going. And they wrap things up by the time that people in Microsoft and Boeing are getting home. Yes, it's fairly depressing, you know, because the police have been picking off some of the older people that I guess have more of a record, presumably, and they've been replaced with some newer teenagers. A friend of mine was sharing a story with me about a young girl that she'd actually been buying breakfast for, the girl's mother that was an addict. And it turned out that I had just seen the daughter that week, like, riding past the front of the house, you know, with another guy that is in and out of the drug house, both of them on, you know, little BMX bikes with black backpacks. So, you know, she's now into drugs as well. It's just really depressing. It's like watching evil feed on young people, you know, and it just goes on. Some days it's quieter. Today was actually a fairly quiet and slow day, but some days it's really quite busy.
Ms. Angus-Napka, I'm really sorry, but I need to ask you to wrap up. We're at the 3 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So things that I've heard from snowpack operators, well, maybe it's just a guy on a bike carrying his other bike, said of, you know, an occupant of the drug house, or explain to me again how this is suspicious. You know, it's hard for me to encourage other women to call, you know, when I get answers like that. You know, people don't expect to be put through the third degree, and I've heard the deputy chief speak a number of times, and you know, like, all I ever hear is, well, we can't do that. And I've never heard, like, what exactly the plan is, what we are going to do. So, you know, people get frustrated, people get burned out. That's it.
Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Councilmember Scarborough.
You said they're all women. The women who are calling 911, are the women who are being intimidated? The people intimidating the people who are calling 911?
The people that I know that have been intimidated are all women from the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming and speaking. Please understand that we are working on a variety of issues that are all interconnected, and we'll be following up over the next week or two with some of our partners here in the area, including the neighborhood in the Blakely area. Thank you. Next person that I have that is signed to speak is Amber Mehta.
I was just sort of
following,
but
so Ms. Angus-Napka signed you up. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the council this evening? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on with the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Davis.
I move to accept the consent agenda. I'm sorry, losing my voice here.
Second. Yeah. Councilmember Davis has moved to approve the consent agenda with a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next item on the agenda is new business. This is new business item number 1, AB 16138, 2017 budget presentation of utility and CIP funds. I believe this would be Mr. Feilberg. Did I get that right?
No.
Okay, it's still loading, sorry. Ms. Nelson.
Touch my nose at my dip.
Just I didn't call in Zach.
Put that on in my eyes.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm sorry.
You have three seats to choose from.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's it.
I take Councilmember Hanford. She'll be there longer tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Close enough. I'm probably going to be asking you to answer any questions. Okay, tonight we're going to talk about the utilities, the capital improvement projects, and special revenue projects. Last week we talked about general fund and the internal service fund. So this is everything else. Okay, the utility funds will hit first. They're funded by rates, not taxes. They have to be self-supporting by rates and the capital fees, connection fees.
Ms. Nelson, before you get going,
yeah,
like really into it, please let the record show that Councilmember Rasmussen is now in chambers at 7:23. Okay, and we're at final action. I'm sorry, we're at new business item number one for the budget, capital.
So. Because we have issued bonded debt with utilities backing them, the bond covenants, the bond ordinances, they require a ratio of 1.25 revenues to operating expenses. So if you take your operating expenses and take out all capital debt service and transfers, the ratio of the revenues to that dollar amount has to be at least 1.25. We always meet it, but that's a requirement that we have to meet. And if we don't, we have to raise rates. The water fund in the 2017 preliminary budget, we're estimating revenues will be for 2017, $4.3 million. Operating expenses, $3.8 million. Total expenses, $6 million. And that total expenses includes debt service payments of $690,000. And the 2017 budget per the rate study does include a 7.5% rate increase for water for this next year. That's part of the rate study plan that we did in 2015. The water CIP fund, the capital improvement project for the water fund, we're expecting capital fee revenues to be about $596,000. We are going to transfer $1.5 million from operating to the capital because a portion of the rates does pay for the capital infrastructure that people pay monthly. Some of the capital projects slated for 2017 are listed there, and if you have any questions about any of them in particular, I will have to defer to our public works director. And the restricted fund balance and ending fund balances are healthy. They meet the reserve requirements, and they are stable balances. Not too much, not too little. It's all along our long-term plans that are in the comp plan.
Okay. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Maybe we have to defer. What's the Lord Hill Reservoir Security Group?
It's fencing around me, just about the access and egress from the site. So.
Oh, it's there. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Questions?
Mr. Brazel.
If I'm not mistaken, that's part of the Sky River or Sky Meadow system that we took over.
Oh,
so it's a new name too.
Yeah, that's what it's over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the sewer fund, I mean, this is driving me crazy. I don't know about the rest of it.
Because it looks crooked.
It's rotated now.
We're expecting $7.4 million in revenues. Operating expenses are $3.4 million. And there again, the total expenses of $8 million include debt service payments of $1.6 million. The restricted fund balances meet our reserve requirements. And there is no rate increase for sewer for the year next year, 2017, per the rate study we did in 2015. So that's a good one, because that one was hit with a bunch of raises for a bunch of years. So we're going to lay off on that. We quit beating people up on that one. The sewer CIP fund, we're expecting capital fee revenues to be about $1 million. We're going to transfer $3 million from the sewer operating fund to the capital fund. Under that total expenses of $8 million, that includes the inter-fund transfer of $3 million to this fund. And capital projects that are slated for 2017 are listed there. And again, if you have any questions on any of them, what any of them are, I'll be happy to defer. And the restricted fund balance and the any fund balance are all within our plan for our long-term strategic planning for the comp plan. The stormwater fund, we're expecting $1.7 million in revenues. Operating expenses are $1.4 million. The total expenses of $1.5 million include the debt service payment of $100,000. And this fund will have a 4% rate increase per the rate study. This fund does not have capital fees. Water and sewer, they have capital fees because you're not connecting to a system. If you live in the city, you're just helping to support the citywide system. This fund does not have capital fees. The stormwater capital fund is has those three projects there slated for 2017. And again, the ending fund balances are they're helping their fine. I have a note there that the ending fund balance will change when the bonds are issued. However, that was when we were originally going to just do stormwater bonds. Now we are not, so that ending fund balance is remaining the same.
No, we are doing stormwater bonds.
What?
We are doing.
We are?
No, state. Remember when it's $6 million?
Okay, I thought that was going into the municipal plan.
No, 4.2 is municipal, 1.2
okay.
is.
So, yeah, when we issue the new bonds, that ending fund balance will change. But we don't have the final numbers yet. We're still working, still tweaking. But I will have all this finalized before, with a list of changes from the preliminary to the final when we bring you the final budget.
Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. So the vegetative swale, that's the bioswale, right?
Yes.
I thought it was scheduled for 2018.
Yeah, but that's 2017. I thought it was 18 too, but that was a year earlier.
Okay, that's fine. So is it possible to go in earlier? Is it possible to go in earlier?
So, yeah, 2017. Yeah, we'll go in.
All right, I thought it was 2018.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood. And I'm sorry, where is Stanton Park?
Off of 149th, off of 179th, just before you get the last lead, turn left.
Mm-hmm.
And on, you go past the condos and on the right, there's a big park there with a big pond.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I didn't know there was a pond in there.
Yeah.
It's a stormwater pond.
The revenue bond reserve fund, this is money that we are required to hold aside to meet the bond covenants for our bonded debt. It's currently funded at $1.8 million, and we are planning on transferring $50,000 back to the utility funds, prorated on their debt burden, because as we have a reduction in the requirement, we just move this reserve back into the operating funds. Now, that was all for utilities. So if you have any questions about that.
Any questions about the utilities? Okay, I don't see any.
Okay, streets. We have three basic street funds. We have the special revenue fund, which is called the street fund, and that's for street maintenance. And then we have the street CIP fund, and that's for all the capital projects. And then we also have the agency fund, which is where we take in all the transportation benefit district sales tax. And we hold that money in an agency fund until the other two funds, when they spend money that's eligible for TPD money, then the TPD agency fund reimburses those two funds. So that way we can track that the TPD money is being spent on TPD eligible projects. So the first one is the street fund, the maintenance fund. It gets its revenues from the solid waste franchise fees. It gets its main money from gas tax revenues, and that's based on population, not on how much gas we sell. And we also have estimated about $57,000 in charges for services, and that's just engineering review type things, special permits and all. Total operating expenditures are expected to be $743,000 for 2017, and included in those operating expenditures is $17,000 for pressure washing the downtown sidewalk. So some of that pressure washing, it's actually cost more than the $17,000, but the storm drain utility is paying for some of it, and the street fund is paying for some of it. Did I say that correctly?
Okay. Ms. Nelson, real quick, the gas tax is based on population. That includes our whole population, correct?
Our
exclusive gated.
Yeah, the gated community. Yes.
Thank you.
That's what you're calling it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strictly a head count. Doesn't matter if you drive or not.
Right. Thank you, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Regarding the downtown sidewalk pressure washing, so does that include? There's a special vacuum used to clean out the. Is that the same?
Basically, we're going to do all the sidewalks. Basically, Blakely to Ferry, Fremont to railroad tracks,
uh-huh.
Kind of that area. And the storm fund is paying for cleaning the pervious ones.
Okay.
And then the non-pervious ones are being paid for by the street fund.
Okay, that requires that special vacuum cleaner.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'm going to follow up on his question. What is the status of that? Do we have the vacuum already? Because I know that
yes.
We test drove it. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Is it okay? Then I'm going to follow up on his. Do we have our own, or I thought
yes.
We were sharing that?
No, we have our own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The first one we got had a little.
Well, when we were testing it out, the first time they brought it over, first in the flames, but.
Did it say Galaxy?
Okay, now we've got a bunch of lights.
I am.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Great. Is it costing us $17,500 a year?
Well, and to do it once is $17,000. Actually, to do it once is $36,000. $19,000 is for the pervious, and $17,500 is for the non-pervious. And that's one time.
And do we plan to do it every other year or every year?
Councilmember Scarborough, that is that would be a decision of the legislative body if that's something you want to do every year. We've forgone doing that because of budgetary reasons in the past. This year, I wanted to provide you with an option to consider doing some things for the downtown. One of the things that I saw that I felt was necessary was to do pressure washing of the regular sidewalks. We're still going to have the vacuum go through the appropriate scheduled maintenance, but this is something we probably haven't done for about 10 years or so, and it's something I think is necessary to help freshen up the downtown.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lamp did interject on that. We did have a volunteer sidewalk pressure washing event 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
So it's been done, but we've probably been professionally done it. That's been professionally done in 10 years.
Thank you.
Okay. Street CIP fund, this is all the capital improvement projects. We're expecting grant revenues of about $2.7 million. GMA fees from new permits that come in of $400,000. Real estate excise tax is being transferred to this fund in the amount of $500,000. And TBD revenue, we're expecting about $850,000 being transferred into this fund. Capital projects slated for 2017 are listed there. Do you have any questions about any of those projects?
Councilmember Kovac.
Brad, what's the Chain Lake Road sidewalk extension? Where does that go up to?
That's currently it goes from the roundabout up
right.
To Rainier View. It's from Rainier View to Brown Road.
Brown Road.
Yes.
Okay.
And we are recommended for a grant for the design and right-of-way acquisition for that.
Okay.
So
would it still stay on that same side?
Same side, yes.
Street
that. Yes. Yeah. And these are semi-tentative projects or
yes.
Semi-fees. It depends on what grant funding we get and what will actually be done.
Right. So if that's the design phase next year, if that all goes through, when would you think that the completion would happen?
When someone will fund it. So basically,
okay.
We got money to break up the design, so hopefully when we're done designing it, we'll reapply for the same pot of money that will fund the construction of it.
And so when we do a design, how long is that design good before we have to redesign?
It depends on what it is and how long it takes. So if for something like that, if the critical area regulations don't change too drastically before we get around to building it, it won't be too bad.
Okay. And how much would a design of that cost?
I I'm thinking the design of the right-of-way we need is $985,000, if I remember correctly.
So we'd be purchasing right-of-way at the same time we do the design?
Yeah, so that's the idea, is we can get the right-of-way purchased and designed, and then we can go out and build it.
Okay.
And be able to, you know, go do it as opposed to waiting for the third, you know, doing the design, then right-of-way acquisition, then build.
Right, okay. And then the Blueberry North Kelsey Street intersection improvements, we haven't decided what those are.
We haven't decided what they're on. There's a placeholder in the budget for that, but we haven't decided.
Okay, so what type of, because there's no money, no attached to each of these up here, what would be the cost of that? What are you putting as a placeholder?
We're doing the placeholder of $450,000 for that one.
Okay, thanks.
Councilmember Scarborough?
So we want to run a sidewalk from all the way up to Brown Road.
Correct.
You guys were anticipating a big housing tract, I think?
Yes, that basically is finishing. The actually, it's been in the comp for years to expand that street, and then there are all the houses that are coming along there. We already have a plat that actually goes all the way up to Chain Lake Road, right at Brown Road. So everybody who lives up there will be able to make it out to Chain Lake Road.
Okay. Are there any other questions or other capital projects that you feel should be on that list?
And there's a map. You guys have a copy of this in your packet, so if you want to look at it in more detail later, that's just to give you an idea of the location of the projects. And the next capital fund is our general, governmental capital improvement project funds, and that's the general CIP, parks, North Kelsey development, and debt service. The general CIP fund, we use this to implement the city campus master plan, and any project that's not park, streets, or utility goes into this. For instance, the water fill station that we did, and the fuel pump station, those things come through this fund. We're anticipating bond. This is, again, needs to be updated. The preliminary budget has bond revenues of 3.1. We're now up to 4.2, I think.
Yes.
Around that. And so, but we're still working with the underwriters. It's not finalized yet. It will come to you for approval. And so, and then when we bring the final budget forward, I will have final numbers, and I'll have a matrix for you so you can see what the preliminary budget said and what the final budget says, so you know all the changes that are being made here. And that's basically that one. Parks and Recreation CIP Fund, Mike is not here tonight, so I'm hoping we can all just pitch in if you have any questions about the projects. We're expecting impact fees to be about $185,000. The REIT fund is transferring $250,000 to this fund, and there's a list of the projects that he has planned for, Mike has planned for this next year. And I think he's pretty much talked about most of these projects. He talked a lot about them last week when we were going over the general fund. When he was talking about the parks operation budget, he incorporated these projects in there with his talk. So I think he knew he wasn't going to be here tonight. So if you have any questions about any of these projects.
Councilmembers, any questions? I don't see any. Councilmember Cutback.
I apologize. I wasn't here last week. But the paths and trails CIP, is that just maintenance of what we already have? Kind of.
No, he has some new.
New trails.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And I don't know what they are, but I can find out and send you guys an email.
That would be interesting to know what those are.
Yeah.
And then the Fairfield Park entry realignment. We've had some discussion about that. So it's the opening to a county park.
Right.
So what is that for? Is that for the road?
That's to move the entrance down to the intersection and then do the part that's from Brown's Boulevard to the ditch, and then the county does the ditch north.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cadman.
Councilmember Scarborough.
The Cadman pit master plan. Can you enlighten me a little bit on that?
That's the old bridge just behind the city hall, behind the library, and then what the master plan for that was, because the part of the agreement is that the when the reclamation is done, the cabin turns the property over to the city of Monroe for park purposes.
Yeah, that's a nice big chunk of land. It's flood prone, so they have to be careful about what they decide to put there.
And one thing I'd like to chime in, if I misremembered something, but you'll see Lake Tai up there. We do have currently slated for 2018 improvements to the play facilities at Sky River Park. Is that correct, staff? Okay, I seem to remember that was on the list. So just letting you know that also is on the horizon to upgrade the play facilities there. Any other questions or comments from council? Or anything that you would like to see differently with the CIP? With parks? Okay, thank you.
Okay, the North Kelsey Debt Fund. In 2017, we're paying $90,000 in interest. We still owe $4.1 million. We have two balloon payments for that due in 2018 and 2020. And so we're hoping land gets sold in North Kelsey before those dates to make these debt payments. If not, then we will roll this debt over into a new debt instrument, as we have been doing. But we're optimistic.
And Diane, as an option, if we have the cash on hand, we can pay that. Like we've got contingency fully funded.
Yes, that is an option. Yes.
Right. So just letting council know that part of the decision making in recommending that the one-time funds from the utility, from the solid waste utility, go into contingency was not only to meet the intent of the resolution the council adopted previously, but also to provide us with some cash on hand for other projects and/or to help make this payment on September 1st of 2018. There's also money in the North Kelsey Debt Fund that could be used to help pay this.
In the development fund.
In the development fund, right. So while there could be a refinance, there are also cash options on the table right now. Is that correct?
That's correct. It would really look good in the city's financial picture if we could pay off the initial payment, and then if you went to roll over the $2.8 million later on, it would look good that you paid down some of the debt.
And that, of course, is assuming that we don't sell property, which we do have things that we're working on right now.
That's the plan. The plan is to sell the property.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
You might be coming to the next slide. How much is in the development fund? What's the next one? You were saying we could pay the debt service out of the development fund?
I don't have a slide on it because we don't have any expenses planned in that fund this year. I believe there's about $800,000 in that fund.
Okay. So is the $90,000 that we owe in interest, are you proposing that comes from the general fund?
No, the $90,000 comes from the development fund.
Oh, okay. I just heard you say we weren't having any expenses in there in 2017.
Yeah, just the transfer, just an interfund transfer from that fund to this fund. Here, let me just quick, I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. The North Kelsey Development Fund is transferring the $90,000 over to this fund for debt, and then it will have an ending fund balance of $1.2 million.
Okay.
So, because we had a bunch of money in there because we didn't know if we needed to develop the land in order to sell it.
Right.
You know, like for instance, that one that's a big storm pond. You know,
yeah,
trying to fill
storm
it in,
water.
That kind of stuff. So, there is money in that fund. And that money has been designated by previous council actions and resolutions to either develop the land to sell it or to pay off debt.
Okay. So even after we transfer the 90, it sounds like there's 1.2?
Yes, after the transfer. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anything else on this one?
Go ahead.
Special revenue funds. We have the donation fund, the tourism lodging tax fund, narcotic fund, and the REACH fund. The donation fund, we expect to spend $6,700. It's a small fund. It's just whatever donations come in. We don't spend donations until we get them. And that goes to things like the Wigley Field Park, the Egg Hunt, Movies Under the Moon, Flower Pots, those types of the K-9 program. The lodging tax fund works. That's the hotel motel tax. And we're expecting that we've appropriated $80,000 in expenditures, but that will be designated by the lodging tax committee, which Brad will be bringing later on this year, I imagine, what their recommendations are. But it will not exceed $80,000. The narcotic buy fund, we have $30,000 appropriated, and that's from drug seizures that we have appropriated. If they need to spend it, there's like $30,000 sitting in that fund. So if they need to spend it, I just put it in as appropriation. They may not spend it. Real estate excise tax fund. This is the tax we get whenever property is bought and sold. We're estimating to get $800,000 in 2017. $500,000 is going to the street CIP fund. $250,000 is going to the park CIP fund. REIT comes in two buckets. There's REIT 1 and REIT 2, and we combine them all on our books, but I still track them. REIT 1 can be used for any municipal purpose if it's in a comp plan. REIT 2 funds can only go to parks and streets, parks and public works projects. They cannot go to like a municipal campus. So REIT 1 you could use to finance your municipal campus debt. REIT 2 you cannot. Just for future reference when you talk about municipal campus financing later on down the road.
Ms. Dawson, Councilmember Cutterback.
And are we using any more than REIT fund for maintenance of parks?
No, that has sunset.
That did sunset?
It sunsets in 2016, end of this year.
This year, okay.
And there was legislation, excuse me, to allow it to continue under certain circumstances, and we do not qualify for those circumstances.
Okay.
Diane, when you originally brought the budget to me, and again, if I'm misremembering something, please let me know. We had $500,000 going to street and $500,000 going to park CIP. Is that correct?
Originally, yes.
And that's because we were generating more REIT this year than had been, for the current year, than had been anticipated. Is that where 500 since the estimated revenues are 800 on the slide?
Usually what we spend is what we've collected the year before.
Got it. Okay.
And so, yeah, we expected to have $1 million in the beginning of 2017.
So we're just appropriating the current year into the next year.
Yeah.
And the 800 would be what we anticipate that we would appropriate for 18.
Correct.
Okay. So one of the things that I'd like council to understand is that historically our policy has been first, the way the parks comp plan is set up, which we just adopted, council just adopted last year, we have committed to $250,000 per year to put into there. One of the choices that I was provided was the ability to do to recommend $500 in the street fund, and then based on our prior policy of splitting it, putting $500 also into the park CIP. What I opted to do instead is to put that extra $250 that is not in the park CIP fund into fund balance. What that allows us to do is that next year, if we don't quite make the $800,000, we have the ability to take $250,000 from fund balance and still continue to fund the park CIP. In the event that we have some high years and we've got extra money building in fund balance, it gives us more flexibility to do some other project without having to reappropriate it out of the Parks Department and into streets or into a municipal campus for debt servicing or something for a new city hall. So just letting you know, there's another $250,000 that is going into fund balance that's not shown on this slide here. Okay. That could also be matching funds for a road project if we decide to do something, you know, 191st, that kind of stuff, or for synthetic turf fields, that sort of stuff. So there's a little bit of extra money.
You may want to use it on financing for a municipal campus. And I know I said this earlier, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, but again, this week we had water coming through the roof onto my employees, and they have tarps up there. So I just want to let you know it's coming. You're going to need to do something.
Any other questions or comments from council? All right, please continue. Thank you.
Okay, the budget process. Okay, tonight we have the first public hearing on the budget. In November, we'll have a second hearing on the budget. And then December 6th, we'll bring the final budget ordinance and the final budget document to council. and for the first reading, and then on the 13th, hopefully, a second reading and adoption. And then you guys are done for the year. Probably not, but that was, but anyway, that's the tentative schedule, unless, but this is the last of the presentations, unless there's information you'd like me to bring forward. If there's anything you have questions on, and if you don't think of something tonight, if later on something hits you, send me an email. I'm more than happy to either email all the council or to bring information to the actual council meetings in a public forum. However you want it, I'm happy to bring any information to you.
Councilmembers, any other questions or comments? Again, as last week, Councilmember Hanford put it so eloquently, thank you, and staff for all the work you've done on this fund in addition to the general fund and the budget.
It's definitely been a group project. Everyone works really well together.
Great. The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is under new business. This is new business item number two. This is AB 16139, ordinance number 018-2016, converting two-year at-large council position to four-year position for first reading. And would this be Mr. Brazel?
It is. Thank you, Mayor and Council. On October 4th, I brought this before Council, and we discussed revising the existing ordinance, converting the two-year at-large position to a four-year seat, coming in alignment with the RCW, Title 35A. The city attorney has drafted a ordinance to make that change, and I'm open for questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. So looking at the requested action, you've got move to adopt ordinance. There's a blank space. What do we need to there? I was going to make the motion, but
Liz will provide us a number.
Yes, sir. Apologize about that. Looks like maybe that did not quite get online.
Yeah, the ordinance itself isn't on there.
I know, I just never said it on there.
If you like, we could either move forward to the next item and I can post it online, or I can read it into the record.
Why don't we wait to the next item so that we can post that online and the council members can see that. So council, we're going to go ahead. As you'll note, the agenda bill is listed, but the ordinance is not on there. So what we'd like to do is move on to the next item. We'll come back to new business item number two in just a moment. So we're going to move on to new business item number three. This is AB 16140, authorized mayor to sign amendment number one to property transfer agreement with Snohomish County Fire Protection District number seven. Who's this? Okay, me? Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you.
Thanks.
As you may recall, in the end of September, we came to the council with a property transfer agreement and the interlocal agreement for fire prevention services with the Snohomish County Fire Protection District number 7. The city council adopted that. They went to the commissioners. They had some questions about it. We talked to the fire chief about it, and they decided that they wanted to add the provision that if they do sell the fire station that is currently being used to provide fire protection services to the city of Monroe, that the current agreement says that they will give us a pro rata share of our ownership currently in that building. They would like to add that the caveat, which is what the amendment does, is that if they reinvest that money buying a new fire station that would provide service to the city of Monroe, they do not have to refund the money to the city of Monroe. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Council members, any questions or motion? Council member Rasmussen.
I'll make a motion to move to authorize the mayor to sign amendment number one to the property transfer agreement with Snohomish County Fire Protection, District number 7, and especially authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
The first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Cutaback for the requested action is listed in Agenda Bill number 16140. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Are we ready for new business item number two?
Sorry, we're having technical difficulties.
Okay. So we will return to new business for new business item number two. We're going to move on to final action item number one. This is AB 16141, ordinance number 017-2016, setting the 2017 property tax levy for final reading. Ms. Nelson.
This is the second reading of this property tax ordinance. before the council meeting, Councilmember Camp was asking me about how this levy will impact the property owners in Monroe. In the total levy, property tax levy, there is a fire MNO excess levy that's been in effect that sunsets at the end of this year. And because the fire districts have merged together, they have said through consolidation of interests that they are able to cut costs and they no longer have a need for this levy, so they will not be renewing it. And so this use of bank capacity increases the property tax to be a net zero effect. In fact, I think it's a hair under, but to be conservative, I would say it's a net zero effect to the property owners. It will not increase. By using this bank capacity, it will not increase their total property tax bill.
Compared to what they're paying in 2016.
Correct. Yeah, if their house happened to skyrocket in assessed value, it would go up. But yeah, it would do that either way. And this property tax levy does make use of bank capacity, a portion of it, $484,000, and leaves about $621,000 left in bank capacity. If you have any questions, happy to answer those.
Council, any questions, comments, or motion? Okay. All right. There is no motion on the floor. Council, do you have any questions or concerns that we can follow up with staff on? Okay. Council members, there isn't usually a motion or at least a follow-up comment or question. If there is no motion, this will die for lack of a motion. We can certainly schedule it to bring it back to council. Is there a deadline or something that council needs to be aware of?
This has to be filed with the county before the end of November, or we do not collect any property tax at all next year.
Councilmember Cutterback?
I'll ask a question. Well, my hope is, Council, maybe we could bring this back next week when there's other council members. And it would help if I saw the numbers, Diane. Just what you were explaining up there, that there wasn't going to be an increase to the property taxes. Could I just see the numbers?
Like, say, for an average?
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, that would just help, not having the numbers right in front of me. So if you could bring those back for next week and the rest of council is here, it looked like this is the second reading tonight. Is that what I'm seeing here? No.
Yeah, I think this is
the
second reading.
Oh, this is the first
reading. Can you clarify?
Yeah, this is the second reading.
This is the second reading, right?
It says first reading up in the top.
Oh, this is the first.
So that would be helpful for me to bring back just the average, as you're saying. That's a question I would get out there, which is this going to increase? So if you see it in writing.
Not a problem. And I just didn't get a confirmation from our city administrator, from Mr. Brazel, that this is for second reading, so the subject is mistitled. But yes, we have the ability to bring this back with additional information. Not a problem.
Okay, that'd be
and,
great.
And I did see those numbers myself. That was part of me coming up with a recommendation, you know, based on the conversations that we had earlier this year and understanding that we had a levy that was sunsetting. I think the amount that, and you'll see this next week, is for the average home, it was about a $20 decrease per year compared to what they would be currently paying, ceteris paribus, all things being equal. So, you know, there are other things that can change, but all things being equal, rather than using the full amount of the levy or using the full amount of the banked capacity, which would have been a couple $100, what I'm bringing forward is something that would still be less than people are paying under this year's current tax rate. So, but again, I fully understand bringing forward the information. I want council to have their answers. And if you'd like to do something different, then we just need time to prepare an alternate ordinance.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. The first reading was last week, right?
Yes, sir.
One of the concerns I had last week was the fact that we didn't have a full complement.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I agreed that we should go forward on the first reading with the anticipation that everybody be here tonight. So I appreciate your desire to get a little bit more information, as I got from Diane this evening, and to wait and see if we can get our other members back here as well. So I agree with your... Thank you.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll put this on the agenda for next week, and I thank you all very much. All right, we're going to go back to new business item number 2. Are we ready to dispense with that? Councilmember Camp's already hit his light. Okay, Councilmember Camp.
I think I need some information. I would like you to put in.
Sorry. Yes.
I want to say move to adopt ordinance number 018-2016. Is there something else I need in there?
Doesn't seem like it's getting loaded up. It's not loading up.
Yes, I would go back and then refresh.
I just reopened it and I figured that
would work. Too.
I did the same thing.
All right. Anyways, here we go again. Sorry, there is no web page matching your entry.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what. What's the number?
The 018-2016.
Okay, I've got it now.
Can I read yours?
That's it.
That's it?
That's different than what we were looking at.
I've got it.
It's all.
Okay, this is it.
Okay.
Yeah. Does it look like mine?
Thank you. Now that we've got the... I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 018-2016, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, redesignating and amending the term of office for the City Council's at-large position from 2 years to 4 years in accordance with applicable state law, authorizing and directing appropriate administrative implementation measures, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Cutaback for the requested action as identified in Agenda Bill Number 16-139. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and move on. So we have taken care of new business 1 through 3, final action 1, Councilmember reports. We don't have any committee reports this evening, so we will go ahead and move on down the line. Councilmember Kent.
I don't think I have anything tonight.
What's that?
I don't think I have anything tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. First of all, I wanted to apologize for being late and Ms. Franklin and her work on Red Ribbon Week. I was glad that we were able to do a proclamation for that. And so thank you for all the work that you do with that. I also wanted to mention the council last week, Wednesday. To my knowledge, first ever job fair here in Monroe was held, thanks to the chamber, and it was just an incredible event. And of course, I got to be a part of it, but over 55 employers from within the area, Monroe and within to Everett, a few going a little further south. But 55 employers, that part of the criteria was that they had to have at least 3 positions available within the next 3 months or by the end of the year. And the gym at the club was packed with employers. Over 100 people showed up, job seekers showed up. I'm hearing of 2 people that came and were hired on the spot. So just an awesome turnout, great first time event, and I know the chamber is eager to do a spring job fair for our community again come March. So it was great to see that and be a part of it. And then also on Friday I had the opportunity to attend Leadership Day in Snohomish County, and this was put on by Leadership of Snohomish County, and it was their first annual leadership breakfast. And you know, a couple of very inspirational speakers, but what was really cool was there was a video of some of our local leaders throughout the county and talking about the challenges that they face in their own cities, and you know, to my surprise, there wasn't a whole lot of discussion on heroin and opioids or homelessness, as we all know how big of an issue it is countywide. But a lot of the mayors and from around the area discussed how it was experiencing growth and not necessarily knowing what to do with it, or you know, fearing that that's a big challenge of theirs. And you know, it kind of makes me think about the work that we're doing up here, and we know that we've got growth coming, and you know, we hear it every week from Mr. Osaki on the plots that are coming our way, and you know, it's just nice knowing that we've got something in play that, you know, yeah, it might be challenged, might be tight, but you know, our strategy is good, and we're growing and doing it the right way. So, but it was a great event, and hopefully next year it'll be even bigger.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I was a fundraiser on Saturday. Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, the... Is that good?
I did my part.
Thank you. No, it was a good success.
Okay.
So thank you very much. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing tonight. Are we going to talk about these documents on here?
Yes. Mr. Brazel will bring those up.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough. Nothing to report. Great. Out to staff. Deputy Chief, do you have anything tonight? Okay. Since I picked on the Deputy Chief, do you have anything tonight? Okay, thanks. Ben, Mr. Burton. Okay, do you have anything tonight?
Nothing.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for everybody that said nothing? All right, Mr. Feilberg?
Nothing either.
Okay.
Wow.
Gene, have something, please.
I do. I got several things real quick. This week, a citizen reached out to council in regards to what the council pay was, and I responded to that, and I'm just making sure everybody saw that response. I included in your packet a list of projects and timelines that Economic Alliance had sent out this week. I thought that might be of interest to council, so I put that included in your packet. And then today at the MAG meeting, we had Snohomish County Health District there do a brief presentation. And they also had their consultant there that they had hired, don't butcher the name here, Ruckles House Center is who they used as a consultant to basically look at the organization as a whole, make recommendations on how they can make improvements, that type of thing. So they did a brief presentation, and then the two documents I handed out were informational documents that the health district has sent to all the cities. One is the draft sample resolution of support, and then the other is basically a kind of an outline of what they would lose should they not get full support. I did receive a message from Pete Mayers today, this is actually late this afternoon, that when he got back to his office, he had heard that Snohomish County was going to be supporting the $2 per household, or is it population?
Per capita.
$2 per capita.
Capita. Yeah. Thank you. And so I haven't been able to confirm that other than just hearing that from him, but that is out there, and they were pretty excited that there was a potential for the county to support their cause. In addition to, the county is talking about providing a line item on their legislative priorities to highlight the need for public health. Open for questions on that.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Go ahead. Well, so with the county chipping in the $2 per capita, that across the county, are they, and they're still asking for cities,
That is my understanding, and the hope is that if the cities see that the county is getting on board, then maybe the cities would get on board. Some of the things I shared with the health district today when we talked is that I shared that, in my opinion, there was a bit of a disconnect in their presentation from them telling us what they needed to provide services, but they presented what they were going to provide in addition to what they were already providing. And I said that didn't leave a real good feeling in some members' mouths from what I received as feedback. And then the other thing I had talked about to them, just to make aware, is during the vaping, no vaping in parks, the health district had provided free signage for everybody, and that came across as potentially a misrepresentation that if they had all this extra money to buy signs for all the communities, how was that possible? And I found out today that that was all grant money for those signs that couldn't be used for anything else. But my point to them was that it misrepresented what they're doing. It looks like they've got extra money to buy signs for everybody or all the communities, when in fact they don't. It just happened to be grant funding that had to be used for that source. So those are the things I shared with them today.
Well, and that, I think this document tells why they need the money.
Correct.
More so than adding additional services, which is what they were presenting before.
Yeah.
And that was the feedback I also gave. But I would like to see if another council member would be willing to put this on the agenda for us to have a discussion about it, decide at the city what role we have in public health in supporting this and what they do for our community and looking at this. So I know they probably want, do they have a timeline on this?
Sooner than later. Their hope is that
their budget.
Yeah, their hope is exactly what you just asked.
Yeah.
If the council would reconsider, at least consider what their cause is and what they're asking for.
So I would like to put it on the upcoming agenda if another council member would agree.
I'll support it.
Okay, and I don't know when that we can look at, when we look at the extended agenda, when that fits in. And I don't know if we want to possibly invite them back at that time to, if we're going to have a discussion, to be present, or let them know we have it on there, if they're around to answer any questions.
Okay, you can do that.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Tomorrow afternoon, Burlington Northern has asked for a representative from the majority of the cities that are involved with Economic Alliance to show up and meet with Burlington Northern and their new economic development person. So I did follow up with Economic Alliance to find out what exactly they want to talk about, and they really didn't have an answer other than BNSF had asked for this meeting. So I will be in attendance to hopefully make a connection with Burlington Northern, because I know we have needs in this community. So my hope is to build a relationship there. So I'm going to take the time to go to that meeting.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen, you had your light.
Yeah, I was just going to chime in on that.
I'm sorry, just a second. Please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble came into chambers just a couple minutes ago at 8:14. I'm sorry, Councilmember Rasmussen, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I was actually just going to chime in regarding the conversation regarding the health district and the per capita proposal, and to clarify that, yeah, it's, you know, it's 2% across the board all over the county, and then so essentially those of us within city limits, whether it be Monroe, Snohomish, Index, wherever, would essentially be contributing 4%, 2 from the city, 2 from the county. So it does add up. That was some of the clarification we got on, we had to get on the board, or from within the board. So, and then
2% or $2?
Or
it's $2 per capita.
$2.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. But I appreciate you, Councilmember Kudback, for wanting to bring this up. And, you know, this has been an ongoing conversation, and obviously the sooner the better, because not October's meeting, but September's meeting, there was a very much of a dire need from health district staff that, you know, they are trying to get their budgets in place, and they need to know if we're going to remain our own entity as the health district, or if we're going to roll into county sector or some other form of government. So they're eagerly, patiently waiting for cities to respond. So
okay, thank you. Great. Anything else? All right. For me, you'll take a look at Monroe this week. We had a really busy week last week. You'll note that I met with Congresswoman Del Bene's staff member, talked to her about 522, talked to her about some of the issues we have with illegal drugs and homelessness here around town. We talked about the importance of coordinating efforts to resolve those issues. We also talked about how there's inadequate supply of beds for people that want to be treated for chemical dependency and mental health issues. And that's something that I'm following up with staff on to see if we can bring forward a proposal to add to the legislative agenda something about providing adequate beds in Snohomish County to treat folks with chemical dependency and mental health issues. I think right now, the chief and I were talking before council this evening that there might be about 16 beds to serve the population here, and I'm seeing nods from members of the audience too. There are only 16 beds to serve people. And to give you a real life situation, I was out on a traffic stop on a ride along, and we pulled over somebody who happened to be on a waiting list. She'd been on a waiting list for some time to get treatment for chemical dependency, for drug addiction. And, you know, when you've got people that really want help, we need to have the beds in this county so that they're not going out of the county or out of the state to get the help that they should be able to get right here. And 16 is just not enough for a population of, I think, 750,000 people in the county. So it's one of those things that I am going to talk a little bit more with staff about and with our lobbyist to see what the verbiage should be, and ask that the council consider adding that to the legislative agenda. You know, it's one thing putting boots on the ground to arrest people, but the other part of the equation is breaking the cycle. You have people that get arrested, they are addicted to drugs, they might go into jail for a night, they might go into jail for a couple of days or even a couple of months, but if they don't get the treatment they need, they just end up back in the cycle that they, you know, that we caught them in, that we arrested them in, and that's not good for our community. It's not good for them. It's not good for our community, and it's a cycle that we've got to find a way to break. So that was one of the things that we talked a little bit about. And you also may have seen on Facebook, and I forwarded it to you in your email, something that I put out about tagging. You may have noticed that there's been sort of a rash of tagging, especially along Lewis Street, right down to somebody tagging the superstructure of the Lewis Street Bridge over the Skycomish River. Went ahead and talked with staff. We've already put in a complaint to DOT to, you know, about the superstructure, the metal above the bridge being painted, and then recognizing the broken windows theory that if somebody breaks a window, if somebody does tagging, one of the best things that we can do is take care of it right away. So what I've asked people to do by way of Facebook on a post is if you see tagging on private property, take a picture of it. My preference is that you don't share it on Facebook, because then the person who did the tagging is getting the very notoriety that they were looking for, and that's why you tag, is to be seen. But rather, take a picture, report it to PD, and then paint it over. The sooner those tags are gone, the sooner what they're looking for, which is attention, is gone. And so that was one of the things that that I've asked folks to do. The other thing, too, over the weekend, a photograph was taken of somebody sleeping on a sidewalk on West Main, actually on East Main, just east of Lewis Street, I think. And in the picture was somebody who appeared to be showing a potential renter who might have wanted to open a business in a vacant spot in downtown. You could see them through the windows looking at this this storefront, and right on the outside was somebody sleeping in a sleeping bag on the sidewalk. it generated a lot of comments on Facebook, and we have been working on the issue of homelessness and people living in our parks and working the issue on the streets and drugs and all this other stuff. And after reading through that, talking with staff, I felt that it was necessary to get information out there to you, but also to the public by way of Facebook. As you know, and it's sometimes hard for people to understand, we as elected officials, city staff, can't interact on "You Had Me at Monroe," "Let It Fly," you know, and all these other Facebook sites like the average person can, because our correspondence needs to be copied, and the only way to do that is off our internal stuff. So I did put some information out there about what we're doing. I want council to know that we are meeting with residents. We are meeting with different partners around town to try to get these issues resolved. We will also be, I'm also going to be working with staff to bring forward some changes to code to help give more tools in the toolbox to resolve some of these issues. But all of this also goes back to what I was saying before about treatment and about breaking the cycle. There's a whole system that needs to be invested in, and this is a regional issue. So, you know, my heart really goes out to folks like Miss Angus Snapka and the Blakely residents who live with this day in, day out. And it's something that we need to be taking seriously, which we are, and we need to be doing our best to get rid of the issues that they're facing. So I forwarded that Facebook post that I did at lunchtime today to you so that you can see that. We've got some other things that are going on. There's Tip a Cop, Law Enforcement Torch Run Campaign fundraising event this Saturday, October 22nd. Go to Red Robin, and some of the funds that they generate that evening will go to the Special Olympics. There's also at the Monroe Boys and Girls Club from 2 to 4 on the 23rd Sunday, a public discussion on heroin use in our community. So these are some, that is part of Red Ribbon Week, I believe. And in the job fair, I thank the chamber for all the work that they did on that, and thank you very much for hosting that at the Boys and Girls Club, and that was real successful, it sounds like. Does anybody have any questions for me? All right. Let's go ahead and go to the extended agenda, and then we do have a need for an executive session this evening. Mr. Basil.
Draft agenda for October 25th, 2016. Under announcements and presentations, we'll have confirmation of Civil Services Commission appointment and a presentation by Executive Summers. Got the consent agenda, and under new business, we'll be talking about term limits. When that packet comes out, please note that there will be two different options that we put together in there. One option will talk about the proposal by Councilmember Hanford, and then the other proposal will be to go from 8 years to a maximum of 12 years like the county does. Certainly council can do anything they want, but that is what will be in the council packet for your review and consideration. Any additions or deletions?
I'm sorry, I was thinking, is the budget item on there too for next week? Did we add that?
It's not, but we won't.
Okay, council members, we'll go ahead and add the budget ordinance we talked about earlier this evening to the agenda for next week. Do we have all council members here? The property tax.
I looked already. Yeah.
Perfect. As Mr. Brazel asked, are there any other additions or deletions to the agenda? Sorry, Councilmember Rasmussen.
The discussion with the health district, what we're going to try to put on, put that on for next week or the week after. November 1st.
Probably November 1st. November 1st, most likely, if that works.
How soon would you like it, council members? Sooner?
The sooner the better, yeah.
Is there any preference?
We can put it on.
For next week, the only prep that I would have is trying to provide additional materials that council may want to see, and I'd need to get that from the health district. I'd like to confirm the statement from Pete this evening in regards to the county, and I don't know when they meet next, and then that'll be solidified, but it would be nice to have that knowledge as well prior to council seeing it.
So what we can do is we can tentatively put it on for next week, and if Gene's able to pull that information together, we'll just go ahead and put it on the agenda. Does that work for you?
So the Health District Board, we meet again on November 8th. So, I mean, if there's anything that the Health District needs to get from the board for us, I mean, obviously having that extra week is better for them, but, I mean...
November 1st is okay.
Yeah, I mean...
It's to the first. So.
November 1st is okay. That gives you time to get everything, and then they might want to come. November 8th, we don't meet here.
Yeah, we're not meeting.
If anybody has any questions for the health district, please feel free to email them to me and to Mr. Brazel, and we'll make certain that they have those in advance so they can be prepared to answer additional questions. So we'll put that on for November 1st.
Then look at the long-range agenda. Is there any additions or deletions? I will be out on November 15th.
You'll be out
November 15th. Actually, the first 2 weeks of November, I'll be gone from the 4th to the 20th.
All right. So if there is nothing else for the extended agenda, do you have anything else? We're going to move into executive session now. Mr. Lowe, can you provide the citations?
Certainly. How long do you anticipate the executive session combined, Mr. Mayor?
Shall we start with 10 minutes?
Certainly. Pursuant to RCW 4231101I, the council will now convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation with legal counsel. The council will also be discussing collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 4231144A. The executive session will last approximately 10 minutes, after which the council is not anticipated to take any action except to adjourn the meeting.
Okay. So we are now in executive session.
You can get online at your house.
All right, we're back in session. Councilmember Gamble.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Objector.
Oh, thank you.
Taking the gamble around. I'm pulling the gamble.